Good morning. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the indescribable, unintangible. Place the stars in the sky and you love them by name. You are amazing, all powerful, unattainable, all struck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and its dust to its time, yet conceals it to bring us the coolest of night.
You give life, you
Amen. Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, the crippled man, did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never. Oh man, did he run past this way? Trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. He saw it all.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. Let us continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 338. Page 338, singing at Calvary. Spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me that on Calvary mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burden saw found liberty. Oh, the love that is salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God is spent. Continue by turning to page 510, singing Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. Scene, no, not one. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our souls' diseases. No, not one. No.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, there we go. Well, we would like to thank you for coming to Assurance Baptist Church this morning. If this is your first time to Assurance Baptist Church, if you could raise your hand, we got a gift for you. Not for you. But we got some up here. We got one up front. But as they're passing out the gifts, if we could pray for the Brister's family. They're feeling under the weather this morning. And also, Miss Bunny, she's not feeling great as well. So if you could just lift them up in your prayers this week. We got one up here. Did you get one, brother? Yep, we got one up here. Well, let's pray, and then we'll have a special for you. Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house. And Lord, we're thankful for seeing visitors this morning. And Lord, I ask that you just be with the Brister family, Lord, that you would heal them up. And Lord, just get them back here. Lord, as well as Miss Bunny. Lord, that you just get her healed up as well. Lord, that you just give them peace, that you give them grace. And Lord, I ask that you just be with the services this morning. Lord, that there's someone in here that don't know you, that they can come to know you, for it's eternally too late. Lord, I ask that you just be with our pastor, that you'd hide him behind the cross, and that you just speak to us, and that we hear you clearly. Lord, we love you. In your name, pray. Amen.
Stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I had no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. That covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
Thank you, Brother Chuck, this morning. So glad to have you all here with us worshiping at Assurance Baptist Church. And good to have our friends here, the McGinty family from Bible Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia. I got to have lunch with them a couple of weeks ago when I was down there, and got to spend a week with Miss Shelley and Hezekiah and Audrey. They were at camp, at the camp that I was able to speak at there in South Carolina. And so good to have you with us. And then my friend Roy is here today. Roy got a packet during Grow Thursday. And so, Grow, yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen. See that? So what a plug for Grow. And now we go out every Thursday and leave those packets on people's doors. It works, I'm telling you. And so we keep on going. So we're glad you're here. And then also I have prayers for safe travels for Sister Bev and then the Chapman family, also the Bays. And then we also have some folks out sick, the Brister family, you know, and that's a party of eight now, as if you didn't know that they're having another baby. So praise the Lord for that. But we want to keep those folks in prayer. And then great to see Sister Wilma here after her procedure Friday. Glad to see you here this morning, and we are just so blessed by your presence. And so this morning, we are grateful. And again, we are so thankful. Our friends that we met in Savannah are here again. So they were your visitors 1 week, and then our visitors the next week when I was there preaching. People that live in the Dayton area were there. See how God works things out? It's amazing. I told Miss Nancy this week that I wasn't going to get excited when I preached this week. I told her, I said, I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to jump. And she said, yeah, right. I said, it's really not that kind of message. And then the more I read it, the more I start going, well, maybe I will yell and scream a little bit because we're going to be talking about petitions to pray this morning. In our sermon series, The Joy of Believing, after our justification, after we're saved, the greatest joy of believing is that we have access to God. Amen. That we're able to pray, to talk to God, and that we're able to have our requests not only prayed for, but answered. And so as we look this morning, I want you to understand Jesus is eager to bless us. Jesus is eager to bless us, and our belief is blessed, and he wants to bring a bounty of blessings to us, but he also wants to see our prayer life produce fruit in our lives. It's a great week to talk about this as we've got some new youth members. They're graduated from junior church, and they're now Marvel Youth Group. And so good to have all you young ladies and folks here this morning that have left junior church. They're done dealing with Mr. Jeremy, and now you got me. They don't look happy. They don't look very happy about it. I'll just keep on keeping on. Prayer is the key to our belief. People going through all kinds of hardships in their lives, go to God, all kinds of problems. Prayer is not the only answer, it's the best answer. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you had nothing else you could do but pray? You didn't have enough money and you say, I don't know how I'm going to fix this, got to pray. You had health issues, you say, I don't know how I'm going to fix this, so I got to go to pray. Prayer shouldn't be our last option, but our first option. Thus, one of the major joys of believing is prayer. Now, I believe that prayer has many different things, many different ways. There's supplication, that's requesting. There is prayers of telling God who he is, of praise and of worship. There's prayers of thanksgiving, of thanking God for what he's done. I believe there's future prayers and past prayers and present prayers to his throne room with. It's the one way that we can communicate with God. They say, hey, Pastor, how can I hear the voice of God? Well, I got a couple of ways you can hear the voice of God. Through the man of God, through coming to church and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, through the reading of the Word of God and the study of the Word of God. You can hear God's voice in song. That's why we have singing and we have people play and do those things. And when we sing out, Great Are You, Lord, it's a prayer of praise. You can also hear God's voice through other Christians telling you the truth in love. Sometimes you've got to be able to, you wore that dress and it was a prayer that it was going to be okay. And somebody had to tell you, nah, baby, that's not the one for you. When I was growing my hair out a couple weeks ago, it was a prayer that maybe God had filled in the middle section that I could stop looking like George Jefferson. And my wife said, now, baby, listen, the truth and love is we can tell that you got the Batman wings and that you probably go ahead and shave that back off. That's why I'm cleanly shaved today. I went over to junior church this morning, and one of the little kids said, "Hey, Baldy." So next week we'll be preaching about how the she-bears came and rent the little children who said something about the preacher and his bald head. If you don't know that story, just wait, coming to a church near you. Matthew 21, your Bibles please this morning. Matthew 21, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 22. Matthew 18, 21, verse 18. And we're going to look here in the Bible in just a moment. Fellas, if I didn't give you verse 18, that's okay. I'll read it. When you find that, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word? Verse 18 says, speaking of Jesus, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto thee, unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be, or it shall come to pass," he's going to tell us there in verse 21, "unto this mountain be removed, it shall be done." In verse 22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." We see this today. The fig tree is closely related to judgment in the Old Testament in Hosea 9 and also in Nahum. But this morning, we see the fig tree as us, as those who can bear fruit. The fig tree had leaves, if you see there in our text this morning. Let me walk around the text this morning. It had leaves, and even though it wasn't the time for the figs to be bloomed, a tree that saved, you are alive in Christ, been born again, then you should be bearing fruit. And when you don't bear fruit, Jesus says, cursed is this fig tree if you're not doing anything with your belief. One of the greatest blessings of believing, we'll get to this in another week, is the opportunity to serve him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to believe, and that there is a joy in believing, and that part of that joy is that we have petitions. We've been asked to pray, and that whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. Father, I pray that you would bless us today, the reading of your word, and Lord, we know that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So, Father, we pray today that you'd help us and guide us through this. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one this morning, the joy in believing petitions to pray, pray readily. Pray readily. The Bible says there in verse 20, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" The fig tree was going to go away. As soon as Jesus said something, it happened. Therefore, we need to pray readily. We need to be ready to pray at the drop of a hat. We ought to be ready to pray to God. Not just when things get bad, but let's get in front of it. Let's pray all the time. Let's pray in the morning. Let's pray in the midnoon. Let's pray in the evening. Let's pray when we got nothing to pray about. God will give you groanings. He'll tell you what to say. All I'm saying is we need to be readily in prayer. The Lord is ready and able to bless you now in your prayer if it's done with faith, isn't he? You know, I think about this. When you go to God in prayer, understand this. The money is in the account. The money is in the account. My son Xavier, he's going to be a senior in high school next week. And his bank account is still attached to my bank account. And I say to him, Xavier, if you need something, you can take money from the account, but before you buy anything, come and ask me before you go and get anything. And I'll check the account and be $30 here, $60 here, $25 here, and I go back to Xavier and I say, now, I want you to remember, it's not your account. It's my account, and before you spend anything out of it, it's okay, but you need to come and ask me. Listen, prayer, all the blessings are God's. He's the one that provides them. But he wants you to come and ask him if you can use some of that blessing, if you can have some of that. It's not your money, but you have access to it if you ask for it. Prayer is asking God for something that God already has, and you're coming to him and saying, would you be willing to bless me with it? Now my son, he does a good job. That was early. He doesn't do that anymore because now he's got his own money. And I say, don't ask me for nothing. I say, you been cutting grass. You got a little something in the bank. You don't need to ask me for nothing. I'll feed you. I'll clothe you. You can live in my house. Everything else, you're on your own, dog. Now listen, I'm just saying that's how my children know that they can come to me and I'm ready to bless them. If you come to me readily, if you come to me knowing I can't afford this or I can't do this, but I know who can, I'm coming to my father, and so I'm going to ask him, listen, when you got sicknesses, when you got money problems, when you got relationship problems, when you know that you've tried everything you can to fix it, the doctors have tried everything they can to fix it, listen, you always can rely on your father because he's holding the blessings. You just got to go ask him for it. But then you need to be praying rightly. Look at verse 21. Praying rightly. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. But the first part of that, he says, if ye have what, friend? Faith. You've got to pray rightly. Now listen, faith is more than just you believing. Faith, remember we talked about this. Faith is you believing, but the word believing means you've continued on in the faith. The ing means it's a continual process. You didn't get just saved and then never ever do anything around the people of God or with the people of God. You didn't just get saved and then think God's going to bless you. No, we got to do it rightly. We got to pray rightly. It takes belief. Look at Hebrews 11:16 with me this morning. Hebrews 11:16, the Bible says, but now they desire a better country that is in the heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Abraham, he's a sojourner. He's looking, but this hall of faith and what Abraham is doing, Abraham believed that there was something better out there for him. But the reason why God blessed them, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11:6 tells us this, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God will actually draw back from you if you have no faith. And so the more you put into your relationship with Christ, the more you'll get out of your prayer life. The more right you are with God, the more right God will be with you. People say, well, I pray all the time. Listen, I believe that you can pray at home. I believe that you can praise at home. But there's something different about praying and praising in church. Right. Listen to me. You can say, my life's not going exactly how I want it to go. Well, do you ever show up? My life's not going exactly how I want it to go. Do you put more effort into this or into worldly things? Do you go out to worldly things or do you serve at your church? And I don't even mean serve like that you're working in ministry. Do you just show up? Because the Bible says, Jesus says, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. So apparently Jesus wants you to come in here. This is why we believe in the altar. You can pray at home, but there's something sweet about praying in the house of prayer. You can pray at home, but there's something sweet about praying with your brothers and sisters in faith. There's something sweet about making an effort to get in your car and to get up and brush your hair and brush your teeth and gargle a little mouthwash and slap a little makeup on your face and put a little cologne on you and get up and get yourself in the church. There's something different about coming into the house of God to pray because it proves your faith. Watch this. Look at Romans 10:17. You read this verse and you think it's just talking about getting saved, but it's deeper than that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Listen, you got to be right with God because when you've heard the word of God, you know the word of God, your faith should continue to grow. You should continue to hear it. You should continue to pray to God because the best thing that happens in prayer is when God answers it. When you heard from him. But that has to come through faith. Watch this. Some prayers aren't being answered because you're not right with God. Some of your prayers aren't being answered because you're not right with God. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, that he will not hear us for heaven. That's for saved people and lost people because he doesn't hear lost people at all when it comes to their petitions because it's the joy of believing, not the joy of unbelief. The Pharisees and scribes are coming along later in the chapter and the publicans, and he's not talking to them because they don't believe him. He's talking to the apostles right there, the disciples. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews, the great chapters of faith. let us hold fast the profession of our faith. When you got saved, he says, hold on to that salvation and that belief you had at the day of your salvation. He says, without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. He says, without you turning away from it, but staying strong onto that promise, not going away from it, not finding better things to do than to follow God. And he says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works. I only say these things because I want you to have good works and I want you to be right with God so your prayers are answered. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says, go to church more now that the world's so bad. And don't go to church just so that you can hear the message. Go to church because it proves out your faith. And when you're proving out your faith, you're being more right with God. And when you're more right with God, your prayers are being answered more rightly. For if we sin willfully, let me just say this, not going to church because you chose to is a sin. Billy Graham's wife said this, if you really believe in prayer, then not praying is the most heinous sin. For if we sin willfully, we know where we should be. We know we should be praying. We know we should be tithing. We know we should be helping, but we're not. Then after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. We're saved. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It says you can't do anything else to make up for that. The only way that you can really be truly in tune with God and be right with God is to continue on in your profession of faith. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. We don't believe that. What I'm saying is, once you're saved, like I say all the time, then act like it. Look at Hebrews 10:39. Down to the end of the chapter here. Now the just, we talked about the blessings of justification. Once you're saved, you're made just as if you never sinned, and you're given all the blessings of God. That's what gives you access to God, Romans 5. But watch, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if they stop acting like they have faith, if you stop acting like you're a believer, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know what that means? God's not going to answer your prayers. Newsflash, I'm not going to do much for you. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition. Praise God. See, that tells us even when we draw back, we can't go to hell, perdition. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So I wanted to make sure you understood. We believe once you're saved, you're always saved. But once you're saved, you need to continue on in your salvation and in your faith. And if you want to be right with God and you want your prayers to be answered right with God, then you need to be doing something. Not work or service, not sacrifice, but you need to be proving out your faith. Why does God want you to do that? Because it's just like a child and a parent. When you're a father or a mother, it's better if your child does it without you having to ask them. The little smile on my face when I go home and my kids have cleaned the house without being told to clean the house. The little smile on my face when the kids have mowed the grass and nobody had to ask them to mow the grass. Do you know God says, I'll give you anything. I'm going to feed them regardless of whether they did the chores or not because that's my job as a parent. But do you know the greater blessing? I might run to the gas station and get you some of them ho-hos or Twinkies, or I might get you a popsicle every once. I might throw in a bonus. You know, we're going to have the meat and the vegetables and the bread. We're going to feed you and nourish you. But when you do something without having to be told to do it, when you're proving out your love for me as I'm proving out my love for you, there's a better relationship, isn't there? Anybody got any friends that are just takers? When you need something from them, they're nowhere to be found, but then they call you and say, hey, could you do this for me? And you're always there. You always got something for them. But when it's their turn to return the favor, you can't find them with a search warrant. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all are those friends to God. You want everything from God, but when it's time for God to find you where you're supposed to be, he can't find you. Now, he's omnipresent, so he knows where you're at. You're trying to hide like Adam did in the garden. And God say, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was. He just wanted to see if Adam would lie or not. Oh, yeah. See, the joy of believing, the good part of believing is God wants to bless you. He wants you to be right so he can bless you. Let me tell you something I was thinking about. This is the part that I might get more excited about, Sister Nancy. Let me tell you how much God puts on prayer. Let me tell you how much God loves to hear his people pray. He even answers or is still answering the prayers of dead people. Think about this. God is still answering the prayers of dead people. Sorry, I got feedback. He's answering the prayers of dead people. Somebody in here has a mother that's in glory that prayed for you to be in church this morning. He's answering those prayers. Somebody in here has got a granddaddy that's in glory this morning that prayed for their grandchild to get saved. And they didn't get saved while he was alive, but he got saved after. God's answering the prayers of dead people. Some of y'all got grandparents or great-grandparents that prayed that many generations down the road. I pray for my grandchildren already. I pray to God, I say, I got four children, probably a good opportunity that I'll have at least one grandchild. But I pray to God, I say, God, get saved, and that this godly line that you've created would continue on. And I've always prayed that my sons, I always told the Lord, Lord, make them whatever you want, but make them faithful men, men that can be used of you in church, men that can be faithful to love their wives and to raise their children, men that can be this. I've always prayed that he would take my young girls and find a man, a real man for them. And listen, I might die before any of that happens because I don't know the day or the hour, but God will answer my prayers even from the grave. I got a grandfather that's in heaven, and I have to believe because I know who he was that he prayed for me. And his prayers went before me. And even though I haven't fulfilled maybe all the promise, and my kids haven't fulfilled maybe all the promise, that his prayers will go before, and that God is still answering the prayers of dead people. I remember my parents, when I was a little boy, praying for me. Mostly they were praying that Satan would leave me alone because I was so bad. They said, Lord, please do something with this boy. We don't know. They called for the exorcism. And I remember when I was a little boy that people would say to him, oh, he's going to grow up to be a fine young man. They said, we praying for that because right now we're not sure. Until I was about 12, 13 years old, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. I thought I was threatened with military school and the orphanage many a times. Sometimes, a few times, I was threatened with death, and I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out. And a couple of times, my mother said she would knock me in the next week, and I'd be like, you don't have the physical capabilities to knock me in the next week. And I get smacked again. She'll say she'll knock the black off me. I said, well, Michael Jackson used to be black. Now he's white. Maybe that's possible. I don't know. This was the 80s and 90s. Maybe it's possible. Black people, we never heard of vitiligo. We don't know how he got so light-skinned. My mom used to say crazy stuff like that to me. She said, boy, you keep messing with that, and watch, I'm going to put my foot up your rear until it comes out your throat. And I'm like, you're not a doctor. You can't do things like that. You know, nobody's ever done such a thing, mother. But I know they prayed for me. And you'd have to know like I know, but there's some people in my family that saw me as a kid. And there's some people I went to college with. When I was in college at Wright State, they called me Gangster B. I didn't make it long at Wright State because I was too thugged out. And they found out I was a preacher. I remember one guy, we saw him at JCPenney. Chandra and I had just got married early on in our marriage, and we were at JCPenney at the Dayton Mall, and he came and he's like, wait a minute, you preaching now? Yeah. Gangster B? God does crazy things, but you know why? Because somebody had prayed for me. Some of those people that prayed for me, my grandparents, Washingtons, my grandfather, Thompson, they prayed for me. And even though they're in the grave, God is fulfilling the promise of their prayers because they have faith. Even dead people's prayers are getting answered. Number three, pray with remembering. Pray remembering what God has done. Look at verse 20, and then we're going to marvel, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away. Now, this is the triumphal entrance that's just happened. So they've seen Jesus do all these miracles before now. They've seen Jesus do all kinds of stuff, and they're amazed that he made the fig tree wither. Jesus has brought people back to life by this point. Jesus has healed blind eyes by this point. Jesus has walked on water by this point. Jesus has fed 5,000 and 4,000 by this point. Jesus has done all. He's made water into wine by this point. And now they're saying, I can't believe that God can say, hey, fig tree wither and the fig tree withers. Jesus is like, man, you guys are going to be able to do these. You're going to be able to take mountains and throw them into the sea. You're going to be able to do it too if you just have faith. But then they remember this. Look at Mark 11. Synoptic gospel, same story, different gospel writer. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Watch what Peter says. And Peter, calling to remembrance, he remembered, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. So we see in Mark's gospel that they didn't see it right then as in Matthew, that it was the next morning he remembered, oh, you cursed this fig tree and said it's going to be no good. Remember, but watch this. Remembering is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because what Peter's remembering is the power of God. The reason why there's joy in believing in the petitions of prayer is because we've seen God answer our prayers before. And so if I know that God has provided it before, I know that he can provide it again. I know that if God has said that he can do it and that he's done it, then there's a reason to keep going back to the well of prayer because I know there's more well water to draw from. Anybody had well water as a kid and you draw from the well? My grandparents had one and you draw from that well. Every once in a while, the well is dry and there's nothing to go back in there. But when you got a good well and you got good running waters, like my grandparents down by the Ohio River, there was always water in the well and you could go and scoop up and get that water. Now, I'm not sure it's the most sanitary thing in the world when I'm looking back on it. But in the 80s, we didn't know nothing about sanitary. We just drank out the hose and drank after each other. And remember the way that they sanitized things back then, they had wet naps. And then some mothers thought that the best way to sanitize was to get their spit all over a rag and then wipe your face. And I'd be thinking to myself, Mama, this can't be sanitary. You just wipe my whole side of my face with your spit. There's got to be germs in that. But, the fact that we keep surviving lets me know that some of these germs and diseases out there, that's Satan, that's the curse that's continued to be perpetuated because we was living raw and rough back in the 80s and 90s, wasn't we? We wasn't clean at all. Nobody wasn't talking about wash your hands and none of this stuff. We was just out at the family picnic at Americana. We was just playing on all the rides and then just go right in the bag and eat out the same chip bag. I just think about how did we survive? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all at the family reunion, nobody had no gloves on, nobody had no fork. Everybody just reached in and got the chicken with their hands, and they was just over there playing horseshoes. We didn't play cornhole, we played horseshoes. You know what I'm talking about? Cousin Lenny and them over here playing dominoes and spades and everything else, and then they just reached right in the bow. How did I survive? It's nasty. But anyway, let me get back on track. Listen, remembering is a wonderful thing. Now, you might have to be above 40 not to get this, but anybody here at that stage of life where you can't remember where your keys are and they're in your pocket? I searched for my keys the other morning. I searched for my keys for 15 minutes. I was in my book bag. I was upstairs. I was downstairs. And then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute. There's my keys. The whole time, there's my keys. I guess God wanted me to exercise that morning. You know, you're in that stage of life where you can't remember where your glasses are and they're right there. You're like, where are my glasses? You've been all over the house. You were in the drawer and you're like, wait a minute, there's my glasses. You might have to be above 40 to get this. I'm just saying, remembering is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Remembering in belief is putting the word of God back on God's word. Listen to me. Sometimes I write things and I surprise myself. I'm like, that must be the Holy Ghost. But this is a good quote. You might write this down. Remembering in belief is putting the word of God back on God's word. What do I mean? When you're in prayer, you say to God, God, remember you said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a prayer. God, you said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God, you said it. Put it back on God's word. When you put it back on God's word, God, he can't do anything but answer his word with truth. He promised it, and so we can't go back on his word because he's God. So put it back on him. God, you said, when I am weak, you are strong. God, you said that if I need help, that my help cometh from the Lord. God, you said that if I needed a helper, that you sent me the Holy Spirit to be the comforter and to be my helper. You said that you'd never leave me or forsake me, so I feel alone right now. Could you bring me somebody into my life to help me feel? Listen, all I'm saying is when you have remembrance and belief, remember the word of God and put God's word back on him. He can't do anything but answer it because he's God and he cannot lie. Amen. See, I knew when my daddy didn't have any money when I was a kid. Anybody here remember red soda water? Yeah, you got to be 40 or older. Some of y'all young people, y'all miss out on the joys of this. I couldn't wait. Back then, you could get a red soda water and a moon pie. I love moon pie still. You could get a moon pie for a quarter and a red soda for 50 cents. And so I would go to my daddy, and because I'm greedy, I would ask my daddy for a dollar. You know, I mean, why ask for 75 cents? Let's just get something that daddy holds, not something that jingles. You know what I'm talking about? But listen. And I always knew if my daddy had money or not. There was a way that you could tell if he was really broke and he really didn't have any money, or if he did. I always go to my daddy and say, "Daddy, can I get $1 so I can get me a red soda water and a moon cookie?" And my daddy would say, "Boy, get on out of here. I ain't got no money." And I knew that my dad really didn't have it at that time. So as soon as he said that, I would go on. But I also knew when my dad did have money. Because if I went to my daddy and I said, "Daddy, could I get $1 for a red soda water?" "No, sir." "Do you think that I work all day long so that you can have snacks?" "No, sir." But I knew that he was just giving me a lecture, and that when he was done with that lecture, if I just stood around long enough, that at the end of the lecture, my daddy was going to give me $1. He said, "Here, take this dollar and get on out of here." And I'd go get that red soda water and that moon pie, and I'll be cheesing from ear to ear. That's probably why I weighed 350 pounds when I was 10. But listen, I'd be so excited. Listen, I remembered from time to time, if my dad said, "I ain't got no money to get out of here," that it wasn't time. But I remembered that if my dad was giving me a lecture, that I could just, if I just waited around long enough, if I was just patient enough, that he was going to bless my request. Some of you stopped praying because you forgot what God has already done. And you just, it's not, see, our God in heaven, he's got all the money. He's got all the blessings. And so right now he might be saying to you, "Don't go away from me right now. I'm not trying to bless you with that right now. You need to wait a little bit longer." But then you come back to him, and when he says, "Okay, let me teach you something from this," some of you, you don't want to wait for the lesson. You want it right here, right now. You think it's Little Caesar's pizza that is hot and ready, and you just want to be able to walk in and get God's blessing, and it don't work like that. Sometimes God's saying, "Hold on, wait a minute, let me give you a little bit of time to think about it." And maybe what he is saying is, I want you to be ready to accept this. I want your heart, I want your life to be ready to accept this blessing. I want you to be right before you can accept this blessing. You need to remember what it was like back when I used to be blessing you, and now that I'm not blessing you, maybe you need to get back to where you used to get blessed. See, there's a joy in believing, isn't there? I think about all the time the joy that I've had in my life, in my prayer life. It's sweet, isn't it? When you start thinking about the joy of believing. I used to pray and pray and pray when I was a little kid, when I was a teenager, when I started to get right with God, and I didn't get saved. I thought I was saved, but just kind of a different denomination. And I used to pray every night, "God, you know I messed up today. Save me so I don't go to hell." I thought I'd lose my salvation every night. And I used to pray to God and say, "God, do these things." But what I didn't understand was I didn't know that God was able, if I was right with him, to do it right then and right now. I would be praying, but at that point in my life, there was lots of things that God had done. The providence of God was all about me, but I didn't know enough to remember that God had already been blessing me. I didn't remember enough that God had been protecting me. Some of y'all were protected by the providence of the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all shouldn't be in church this morning. But the providence of God, you need to remember that where you used to be or who you used to be or the people you used to hang with, they want nothing to do with church. They think you're icky because they call you church people. And there's some icky church people. Let me just be honest with you. But you need to remember who you were even before you were saved. Now watch the joy of believing, how this changed. 8 years passed by from that time of being a teenager and into adulthood, and then God, like he did with Peter, God had been doing things, and things were being blessed and cursed in my life, but I didn't see it. But then the next day, one day I got saved, and then I remembered time. I didn't understand everything I was reading, but man, I had read the Bible through probably 100 times by the time I was 15, 16 years old. And I can remember I had a New King James Bible back then, and that Bible was tore up. My grandfather gave it to me from his antique store, and I mean, it looked raggedy, and I just can remember reading all through it. I didn't know why I was reading it. I didn't know how I was reading it. But then I got saved, and I was like, okay, well, I know a little something about these stories. I'm not completely lost when I walk to church. And then 6 years later, God called me into full-time ministry, and I went, now I know why I had to read the Bible so many times. Because things that people say, well, how do you know what's in Obadiah? Listen, you know how many times I read that book? Even when I didn't understand, nothing was in there. Sometimes things, but then God causes things to come to my remembrance. Then things come, like, there was a reason. God was blessing me before I knew I needed to be blessed. But when I got right with God, and I was readily available to accept the blessings of God, then the real joy of God came in the remembering of what God has already done. and what he's doing. Can I encourage you this morning? I'm so encouraged today. I want you to have this joy in believing. I want you to have a joy in your prayer life. I said at the beginning, you ever been broke but you still got joy? You ever been hurting but you still got joy? You ever been in a bad relationship or having a hard time but you still got joy? You ever been, you had a tough job or tough schedule or a tough situation, but you still got joy? See, if I remember my Bible correctly, there's this thing in there where there's going to be some time, there's going to be some problems, there's going to be some nights where it's hard, but that joy cometh in the morning. There's going to be some struggles, but the way we get that joy is because, one, we have that belief. We have faith that God is able to pull us out of the muck and the mire. And not only do we have faith that he'll pull us out of the muck and the mire, but we have faith that even when we're in it, that God is able to. Can I just testify for a minute? God didn't take the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. He just went in there with them. He didn't take Daniel out of the lion's den. He just made the lions so they wouldn't be hungry. He didn't say, Noah, you don't have to go through this global flood. I'm just going to put you in an ark. And the Bible says, and God shut them in and protect you and your family, your sons and daughters-in-laws and your wife from drowning. God didn't say to Jesus Christ, I'm not going to make you go through the cross and die. And remember, he forsook him. He left him. He said, why have you forsaken me? He said, I'm not everybody that comes to belief. They're going to be coming to belief through you. And they're going to be saved and be blessed and have joy through you. And they're going to wake up on an Easter Sunday. And it don't have to be Easter Sunday like we celebrate. The day you got saved was Easter Sunday because you were resurrected from the grave. And when you got saved that day, he said, son, I made you go through that cross. And that was a hard time. And all the earth turned dark. But when you rose, there was joy in the morning. I just want you to have that joy and believe it, because Jesus says, if you ask these things in faith, they're going to happen. Now, you got to be ready to accept it right now. It could happen right now, but it might wait till the morning before it happens. It might wait a little bit of time. It might be like my daddy. It might not happen every single time, but every once in a while, he's going to bless you from the bowl of abundance, and he's going to pour it out on you. You just got to be ready for it, but in order for you to get it, you got to be right. Too many Christians are out there thinking that they can just live like they want to live, act like they want to live, go to church when they want to go to church, pray when they want to pray, give when they want to give, talk to the nicely when they want to talk nicely, curse people out when they want to curse people out, and then have the audacity, the full-out temerity to think that God's going to bless them. Would you bless your bad little child? If you do, you're a bad parent. If your child is acting a fool all day long and throwing stuff at you and saying no to you and refuses to do anything right and you keep on giving them, you know, we have a good word for that here in America. It's called spoiled brat. Amen. My Father in heaven don't want no spoiled brat children. He wants children of obedience. That's what he calls us. He wants children of righteousness that are right with him. If you think God's going to bless you and your behavior is not worthy of being blessed, you're a fool. You need to make yourself right with God. And in doing that, you know how you get yourself right with God? Start remembering all God's done for you. Go back and be like, you know what? I got some friends that died when they was my age. How come I'm still here? I heard a story about a man, 35 years old, had a heart attack and died. I thought to myself, I'm 41 years old. God's blessed me above that already. I graduated with 215 people. Seven of them that I know of are dead in the last 23 years. And I start thinking to myself, I'm still here. Some of them died from car accidents. Not everybody was just an overdose or something they did wrong. I'm talking about some stuff was just pure accidental. Some of them saved, some of them lost. And I say, but God's had grace. Why am I still here to see my children raised and grown up and doing? Remembrance will help you get right with God. When you start remembering what God's done, Why do you think God goes and recites? Why do you think the Bible is a history lesson? Why do you think he recites the Red Sea so many times? Why do you think he recites how he blessed David? Why do you think he recites all the things? Why do you think Jesus recited all the prophets and all those books? Why do you think there was? Because God wants you to remember what he's already done. And if God's done it before, he's able to do it again. I knew when my daddy said, boy, I'm going to start lecturing you. What I knew is he had a little money in his pocket. If I went to him the next time he started giving me a lecture, I knew he was able to bless me again with money out of that account. Xavier comes to my account and he says, because I know there's money. You know what I've never done? I never gone to a closed bank and asked him for some money. Come on. I think it's Fifth Third in Inglewood. They were closing it down. They were building a new one. But while the building was closed down there on Union, nobody was going through the ATM there. You know why? Because there wasn't no money in it. It says bank out front, but there's nothing in it. Some of y'all are going to an empty bank. You're so foolish that you think you can just do whatever you want to do and that you can just keep going to the bank, but the bank is closed. God said, I'm not going to bless you because you're regarded iniquity in your heart. You're not right. But all I'm saying to you is when I'm trying to go to the bank, I like to see them open signs. Some of y'all, you know how I feel about automatic tellers and electronic registers. I want to talk to a person. I want to talk to a human being. And so I'm the kind of person that I get out. If I need to go make a withdrawal or deposit, I get out of my car and I walk into the bank because I want to see somebody. I want to look them in the eye. I want to be like, I want to go to the front desk and I want to be like, okay, Sarah, you're handling our money today. So, because if you mess it up, I want to be able to come back and say, I need to talk to Sarah. I don't want to talk to the automatic teller where you might get 300 different people from 300 different branches and I can't, well, who did you, you know how customer service is, who did you talk to? His name was Mark. Well, we have 30 Marks here. Okay, well, I'm going to come inside because I know Sarah. She got blonde hair. She got blue eyes. She's about this big. She got glasses. Her hair was done up in cornrows. You know what? I think she had on pink nail polish. And if I remember correctly, she might have had some onions for lunch. Now, listen, all I'm saying is, I want to be able to come in there, know that I'm about to get blessed, that my money's going into the bank, or what I'm getting withdrawn, that it's going to be done rightly. When you do right with God, he says, okay, you come to the one who got it, and you come rightly, that he's readily available to give it to you. And then you remember, see, you know why I keep going back to Right Pat? Because Right Pat always got my money. The first time I go in there and they're like, Mr. Thompson, we've lost all your money. First of all, I'm going to sue. Second of all, we get a new bank. You know why I go to Chase Bank? Because every time I go to Chase Bank, my money's there. I deposit my check, and I want to go draw some money out. And Chase is like, okay, here's Mr. Thompson. How would you like that? I don't care as long as it's right. Would you like 20s, 50s? Just make sure it's right. It all spins. You can give it to me in quarters. I ain't too proud to go up to the register and throw quarters like this. That's their job. Count. Long as it's right. As soon as y'all mess up, soon as y'all start doing stuff wrong, soon as you keep on messing up my account, I'm switching to a new bank. See, we got it in reverse. God looking at you and he going, y'all keep on messing up, so I'm going to stop blessing you. I'm going to use some of this blessing over here and bless them. He said, I'm going to stop blessing this church because this church ain't doing right, so I'm going to start blessing this church. I'm going to stop blessing this Christian because this Christian ain't acting right, so I'm going to start blessing this Christian who's trying to get it together. Mm-hmm. It works like that. You saw faith. It's about believing. And your faith is backed up by what you do. Amen. Proved out. Amen. The joy of believing, the petitions of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And I pray always, Lord, for revival in our church. But I pray most of all that as Jehoshaphat did with the people of Israel, back in the book of the Chronicles, he said, today we've got to have a fast. We got to make our requests known, but we got to get right with God. We got to get ready. If we want God to bless us, we got to get ready. As Solomon prayed, we've got to humble ourselves, and we got to turn our face from evil and turn it to God, and we got to get ready. And if we'll pray, God will hear us. Listen, children, I want you to hear this morning. God wants to hear your prayers. He wants to bless you. But you got to be ready to be blessed. You got to be right to be blessed. You got to remember that you've been blessed, and that God's ready to bless again. As the music begins to play this morning, the greatest blessing you can have is the blessing of belief in Jesus Christ. To be honest with you, God is not hearing your prayers today the way that he could if you were saved. So if you're in this room today and you say, Pastor Bryson, I don't know what it means to be saved. I'm not sure what it means to have Jesus Christ and for him to have me. I'm not sure that if I died today that I would wake up in heaven. And I want you to hear clearly the words of God. These are not my words. These are not the words of our church. These are the words of God and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. I am the pastor of this church, but I'm a sinner. I'm not righteous. I've made mistakes and I still do make mistakes. But God promised that we all make mistakes. If you've broken one commandment, you're a sinner. If you've done one sin against God, you're a sinner. You've told one lie. You've stolen one thing. You said one bad word. You've had one bad thought. You're a sinner. And because of our sin, the Bible says that we'd be separated from God forever and ever. 10,000 years, still separated. 100,000 years, still separated. 1,000,000 years, still separated in eternity in a place called hell. And hell is real, and in hell there's no chance of getting a drink of water. There's no chance of getting forgiveness. There's no chance of being with God. No, in hell it's torment. It's fire, a lake of fire burning with brimstone, with weeping and gnashing of teeth and darkness and perpetual free fall for eternity. But you can avoid all of that today by believing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not a Baptist word, but a Bible word, saved. How do I get this salvation? How do I get forgiven of my sins? How do I ask God? Well, the first part of this is repentance, and you can do that right here, right now. You turn from evil ways and turn towards God. You turn from sin and self and you turn towards God. You start doing it God's way and you get right with God. How do you repent? Well, a good start and a good step to repentance is recognizing the condition you're in, recognizing you're a sinner and saying, how can I stop being a sinner? And then the part that will help you with that is to be saved. You got to repent, but you also have this perfect life that he took upon him your sin into his body, fleshly, took it to the cross, nailed it there where he died. And then he went into the grave. Don't you believe some swoon theory? He really died. He was really buried. And the third day he arose from the grave and from the dead. And when he did that, he claimed victory over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, he's able to offer you eternal life through him who is the light and the life of the world. If you say, Pastor, I want to accept that today. How do I do it? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do I call upon the name of the Lord? Well, I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and that God did raise him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. We're going to give you that opportunity this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Bryson, I want to be saved today. I'm not going to pray a prayer. I'm not going to do anything different than this today. If you say, I want to be saved today, I want you just to raise your eyes to me. I'm going to look at my left-hand side, your right first. My left, your right. If you say, I want to be saved today, I'm not going to come to your seat or ask you any questions. I'll tell you what to do next. All I'm going to do is pray for you today because I believe in prayer. On my left, your right, you say, that's me. I need to be saved today. I believe that. I want to repent and believe. Would you just raise your eyes to mine? Just catch my eye to yours so I could see it. Anybody on my left hand, your right side today? Say, that's me. I want to be saved and know it. What about my right, your left today? Say, I want to be saved and know it. My right, your left. Anybody like that? If you're online, you can reach out to us. What about to the believer? Are you right? We're going to receive the Lord's Supper in a moment. Are you right to take it? Are you ready? Are you remembering what God's done and what he can do? Maybe you're here this morning, you need to join Assurance Baptist Church, make this your home church. Maybe you'd come today. Maybe you need to be scripturally baptized. You've been saved, but you've not been baptized, following Christ in obedience, and you want to come today to make yourself ready and a candidate for baptism. Even tonight, you could be baptized. Whatever it is today that the Lord has put on you, I pray that you would come. And maybe you just got something else. Maybe you believe so strongly in prayer and you know that this is a house of prayer. Maybe you'd come to the altar and pray about situations in your life or somebody else's life or somebody that's sick or for something else that's going on. Maybe you'd come and pray at the altar today and make it so readily available that God's ready to, because you're right, God's ready to bless it today. Let's do business with the Lord. Father God, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.